Welcome to Double Helix, Blueprint of Nations, Companion 2.1, Jim Crow and St. Augustine, Summer of 1964. Hello, welcome to a Double Helix Companion episode. As mentioned before, these are meant to be quick hits, quick episodes to give you a little bit of background and context on some of the stories and events that we've discussed throughout the podcast. Today, we're going to focus on an important piece of United States history and an important piece of context to our story on episode 2, Into the Mountaintop, about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his impact on American leadership and American society. Understanding what he was about and what he stood for without understanding one of the key policies that he was trying to fight would be very difficult. So the point of this companion is to contextualize that a little bit and hopefully educate and enlighten some of you on what he was fighting against. And in addition, we'll also add a key component of his legacy, a moment that defined a lot of what he stood against, which was St. Augustine in 1964. So let's get to it. Today, we're examining the history and the enduring effects of Jim Crow laws in the United States. It was a system of legalized racial segregation that has shaped America profoundly. Understanding the civil rights movement without understanding Jim Crow, what it was, how it shaped the American South, and how it contributed to the inequities we see even to this day in America is almost impossible. The term Jim Crow traces back to a character in a 19th century minstrel show. Minstrel shows were a form of entertainment that involved performers, often white, painting their faces black and performing caricatures of African Americans in ways that were deeply stereotypical and demeaning. The character Jim Crow was popularized by performer Thomas Dartmouth Rice, and it epitomized these stereotypes and became associated with the buffoonery and the inferior status imposed on black people. As the character gained popularity, the name Jim Crow became a derogatory slang term for African Americans, and by extension, a shorthand for the practices and the laws that enforced racial segregation in the southern United States, from the end of Reconstruction through the mid-20th century. The character's widespread recognition made it a poignant symbol for the systemic oppression and segregation laws that followed. Jim Crow laws mandated the separation of races in all public facilities and all aspects of everyday life in the South, claiming to offer separate but equal treatment. However, the reality was a systematic provision of inferior services, accommodations, and opportunities for African Americans. These laws not only enforced inequality, but also entrenched white supremacy in legal, social, and economic fabrics of American society. This legal codification of racial segregation contributed to an environment where African Americans were systematically disenfranchised and denied basic civil rights. It legitimized discrimination and was marked by a brutal regime of enforcement that included lynchings and race riots aimed at terrorizing black communities. Despite the oppressive nature of Jim Crow, African Americans resisted these laws from their inception. The civil rights movement, highlighted by figures such as Martin Luther King or Rosa Parks, as well as countless others, mobilized mass protests and legal challenges that eventually led to significant legislative changes. The first landmark case was Brown v. Board of Education in 1954, which declared segregated schools unconstitutional, and subsequent laws like the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 helped dismantle the formal structure of Jim Crow. This movement not only challenged the laws themselves, but also struck at the core of ideology that supported them, emphasizing equality, dignity, and justice. The legacy of Jim Crow law persists, influencing contemporary social and political issues in the United States. Racial disparities in education, the criminal justice system, employment, and housing echo the historical patterns of segregation and discrimination that Jim Crow sought to uphold. Understanding this legacy is crucial for addressing the root cause of racial inequality that continues to affect American society. We'll now turn our look to a particular set of events that marked the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. and which unfolded in the context of Jim Crow. We're going to talk about St. Augustine, Florida, and the summer of 1964. And it was just after the famous I Have a Dream speech. In the episode, we talked about the entrenched racism and lawlessness that Dr. King encountered in St. Augustine, Florida. Today, we're diving into a pivotal chapter of American history. We'll give you some context and background on St. Augustine, Florida during the fiery summer of 1964. This was a momentous period that shaped the course of the civil rights movement. Once again, Dr. King found ways to confront the nation with violent moments of truth. So let's uncover why Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. chose this location as a battleground for equality and justice. In the early 1960s, St. Augustine was not just a picturesque tourist destination known for its Spanish colonial architecture and Atlantic coastlines. It was a city deeply entrenched in racial segregation and discrimination. African Americans in St. Augustine faced harsh inequalities, from segregated schools and beaches to being denied service at lunch counters and at hospitals. St. Augustine is a city which is steeped in a long, violent history that dates back to before the founding of America, and unfortunately, when it came to the treatment of Black Americans, it was no different. The racial tensions in St. Augustine were so intense that they drew the attention of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the SCLC. But why St. Augustine? 1964 marked the 400th anniversary of the city's founding, and it was poised to celebrate this with much publicity. King and the SCLC saw an opportunity to use this spotlight to amplify their message against segregation. By the summer of 1964, local activists had grown increasingly frustrated with the slow progress of desegregation. As the nation's attention turned towards St. Augustine's anniversary celebrations, local leader Dr. Robert Hayling and others urged the SCLC to come in and help escalate the efforts. Their tactics included sit-ins, wait-ins at segregated beaches and pools, and marches down the city's historic streets, all of which met with violent responses from white segregationists. You can even look up pictures of the violent repression of the wait-ins and the marches, which escalated to beatings of the marchers on many occasions and outright lynchings. The juxtaposition of the marches by African-American activists throughout the old slave market in the middle of downtown St. Augustine showed the naked face of segregation once again. Resistance was brutal. Protesters, including teenagers and the elderly, were beaten, and arrests were commonplace. The violence culminated in an incident where a group of rabbis came to support the movement and were also arrested, drawing national attention. The local police was a participant in the violence, with many Klan members as active duty police officers. The presence of the Klan within law enforcement not only fueled racial tensions, but also eroded trust in institutions meant to serve and protect all citizens. Through his stay in St. Augustine, Dr. King had to move to a different house every night to avoid capture by either enraged white residents or the local authorities, who were seeking to arrest him at best and kill him at worst. Dr. King's involvement brought significant media coverage, which in turn spotlighted the severity of racial issues in St. Augustine and pressured lawmakers at the highest levels to take action. It was this attention that helped pave the way for the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The struggles of St. Augustine were a macrocosm of the national fight against racial segregation. The city's resistance to integration showcased a deep-rooted racial division, which also highlighted the resilience and determination of civil rights activists. As I said on the episode, Dr. King called St. Augustine the most lawless city he had ever been to. And this is within the context of him having visited the entire south of the United States. This summer of 1964 in St. Augustine was not just about the protests or the violence. It was about why those protests were necessary, what they achieved, and how they contributed to the broader narrative of the civil rights movement. It's a reminder of the power of strategic nonviolent resistance and the importance of community and leadership in the face of deep-seated injustice. Thank you for tuning in to this quick companion episode of Double Helix. Join us next time as we continue to explore pivotal moments in history that have shaped nations. Remember, history is not just about the past, it's about understanding the forces that shape our present and our future. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.